Item number eight, 2024-344, found on page 42.
Yes, sir.
Item number 10, 2024, found on page 362.
You said item number 10 on, is that page 71?
I'm sorry, 71.
Okay, thank you.
Item 2024-362, page 71.
Page 71,
sorry.
Got it. Thank you.
And item number 78. It's item number 2024, number 11, bid number 2024-335, found on page 78.
So item number 12, 2024-335?
No. Correct.
Found on page 78.
Bear with me, if you would, please. Yes.
Thank you.
Bear with me.
For clarification, the Councilman Lattisor requested item number 10, 2024-362. Councilman Ricks requested item number 11, 2024-321. Councilman Lattisor requested item number 12, 2024-335.
Also,
yep.
On item number 14, 2024-346, found on page 90.
Councilman Lattisor requests item number 14, 2024-346, DPW repairs, the W-115, found on page 90. All set, Councilman?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. We will go in order, so therefore we will begin with item number 8. This is requested by Councilman Lattisor. This is 2024-344, DPW repairs, the engine 15, found on page 42.
Yeah. Okay. Chrissy, please identify, and Councilman has the floor.
Chris Moretti, Public Works.
Thank you, Councilman Lattisor.
Christy, in the position paper here, it says the city of Warwick must pay the vendor directly for the repairs in the amount of $25,972.43. This request comes before the city council after the repairs were completed to ensure the request to pay the vendor was made in full. Can you explain what does that all mean? Is this like a new rule? So from now on, you know, we're just going to go out and get things done. And when we get the bill, we'll come to the council for approval.
Actually, no. After the last debacle that we had with engine 13.
Oh, I remember that very well.
I thought it would be more prudent for us to wait until the repair bill was completed before it was brought to council.
To avoid what?
To avoid the same debacle we had with engine 13.
To avoid discussion about things that occurred or didn't occur. So
it was put off far too long for us to pay the vendor. So I wanted to make sure that we could pay the vendor in a timely manner.
I see. So this payment has not been made yet?
It has not.
Okay. Why have we not been provided photographs of the damage to this truck?
I have some photographs, but I'm not sure that
we don't have them. And that is very important in order to analyze this whole thing. Now, again, we can go back, well, it's the insurance company paying for it. Don't worry about it. Well, I do worry about it. So we don't have any photographs showing the damage on this. We also have conflicting dates as to the year of the vehicle. So let alone agreeing on other things, we have not been able to agree on the vehicle or the age. The police report said that the vehicle was 19. The police report says that the vehicle is a 1998, but yet in one of the other documents, it says that it's a 2001. So we can't even get people to agree on what year the vehicle is, but yet it's not important to provide us with the photographs of the damage. The police report says, it speaks to the address, which is 1657 Post Road, but further in, there's another address showing something different. The damage sustained to this vehicle is in the mid section, halfway down the side of this truck. But yet we have lights on the back of the truck that were also damaged. It states in the report that as he traveled down Connecticut Avenue towards Post Road in an eastbound direction, he stopped and then proceeded to make a right-hand turn onto Post Road. It goes on further to say that the operator stated that after realizing he had struck the pole, which I went out and looked at that accident location. Yeah, that pole has been hit, okay. It's got to be taken out and replaced. It says, after realizing that he had struck the pole, he backed up and returned back to the fire department. How is a police officer supposed to conduct a thorough and accurate police report on this accident when the vehicle has been moved? I'm quite certain that if I had sideswiped a telephone pole, damaging the pole to the degree that it's got to be replaced, and left the scene, which is whether it was down the street or across the street, I think there would be some serious consequences for me leaving the scene of an accident. And this is while we're conducting a recruit training. We're supposed to be training the recruit. But yet, in order to hit this telephone pole, if you look at the area, I don't know how it hit this pole without driving over the curb. And then you allow a recruit to back up to the fire department before an actual police report is taken. Now, you can speak to whether or not that's what I'm talking about has anything to do with it. It has everything to do with it because it's in the bid package. So it has everything to do with it. And in this bid, just bear with me because I got to find it, because people seem to have difficulties doing math or confirming the math. We don't have an itemized breakdown, by the way, of these repairs. We're typically, well, I'm sorry, that's not true. We do have that. Just bear with me 1 minute and I will find it. Okay, on page 45, again, we have conflicting information as to what year is the vehicle. Is it a 2001 or is it a 1998? We have different mileage. We have mileage on one document that says 64,322. We have on this item from the repair shop says the odometer reading was 64,193. Here we go. Go to line six. Line six says discharge piping, four at $567. The carry across number was 2,388. Well, apparently nobody checked that, because that is 2,268. You multiply 567 times 4, it comes up to $2,268, not $2,388. And I'm pointing this out again, and perhaps boring some people, but this has been ongoing, bid after bid after bid after bid, where I am catching these math errors because other people are not checking them. That's off by $120. Item number 21 speaks to freight estimate, $1,800. What happens if the estimate, if the freight comes in at $2,500, or it comes in at $1,000? There is no appraisal. We don't have an appraisal here. We have the estimate from the auto body shop, but we don't have an appraisal. Now, there was an appraisal done, and the appraisal was done by Charlie Caravella. But yet, in this document, in our paperwork, we don't have the appraisal. We don't have a copy of the appraisal estimate. Doesn't anyone think that this might be important to include in the bid package, the appraisal estimate? And doesn't anyone think that it would be prudent to include the pictures of the damage? Does anyone have a picture of this fire truck up against the telephone pole? Is there a picture of that? Christy, you said you have pictures of it. Mm-hmm. Is there a picture of the fire truck up against the telephone pole?
So a couple of things I just wanted to clarify. The documents from the Doan Group, they are the appraiser.
Excuse me?
The documents from the Doan Group, that's the appraiser that the trust sends out. So this is your appraisal document starting on page 45.
On page 45?
That's the appraisal.
And the Doan Group is the appraiser?
For the okay. Trust, yes.
Great, thanks for clarifying that, because I don't see anything on that. Okay, so on the back of it, it says appraised by. Okay, thank you. Thank you for making that correction.
Councilman, I'm just going to pause you for 1 minute. You hit your 10-minute mark, but I do want to give the chief. I saw the chief was up there. Since you had your 10 minutes, I want the chief to be able to, since he stepped up to the microphone, please identify and then make your statement or comments.
Thank you, Chairman Aaron Mackesy, Mayor's Chief of Staff. Just one comment, if we could stick to the particulars of whether or not the council is going to authorize paying this bill or not paying this bill. I don't think that we should be going down a path of accusing trainees of doing one thing or not doing another, getting into how the individual officer wrote a report. That is not the job before us. The job is whether or not to approve paying this bill or not. Thank you.
I would agree with you, but I also have to stand with the councilman's comments that there's the police report, and I agree with, I'm not a fan of, and I've said this numerous times, I'm not a fan of the attacks on recruits. However, there is a police report indicated. There is a information that's given that this council has the ability to review and to look at and to analyze, and it's part of approving the amount of a repair that was already done. So duly noted, thank you.
And we're happy to answer clarifying questions.
I'm sorry, say again?
We're happy to answer clarifying questions.
Thank you so much. So I think that the councilman brought up a valid question that, well, some of the things that are identified, such as whether the apparatus that was worked on is a 98 or a 2001, because that makes me wonder, quite honestly, this is going to sound kind of simple, but is it the right apparatus we're speaking of? If that's a 3-year difference. So where could the confusion come from? Or so we'll start with that one, please.
So I can clarify this. When the appraisal came to us and the police report. Now, just for clarification, I just want you all to understand that, you know, all the departments work together, but this mm-hmm. landed on my desk after the accident happened, and it had gotten appraised, and they sent it out to be repaired. So, you know, I do the best to piece everything together. Mm-hmm. With the information I was given, it came to our attention that there were two conflicting years mm-hmm. for the vehicle. So when the fire department obtained this vehicle from Hobith, they gave them the wrong title. So they registered a vehicle that we don't technically have. They're working on obtaining a duplicate title for the one we do have so it can be registered properly. But that's basically the Reader's Digest version of that.
Thank you. And I want to go on, I want to go on record as saying that I'm a little, I understand this is a DPW responsibility of repair, but seeing that it's the fire department's vehicle and now you bring that information forward, it's something that maybe the fire department should be here representing on the repair, because there is a police report involved, because it was driven by a trainee of the fire department, because we spent $25,000 on a possibly 22 or 24-year-old or 26-year-old apparatus. I think that it's valid speaking to it. Like, you know, what is the market value of the apparatus, and was it worth, you know, doing the 20, which does not fall on DPW's or your shoulders? That's a question that could be addressed to the fire. And I got to be honest, I was a little, when I started going over this and I started calling out for the information, especially when the councilman called on it, I looked up and I was a little surprised to see that there's not a representative from the fire there.
So the other things that I can tell you about this accident, the truck hit the telephone pole on the pump discharge side, which is where they hook the hoses up.
The truck, I'm so sorry, what?
The pump discharge side.
Okay.
So where they hook the hoses to the pump, that's where it got hit. So you can imagine that there was extensive damage underneath that to the pump components and stuff when they took it apart. As far as the police report, I can't speak to that. Nope. I wasn't on the scene.
That's right.
I can only give you, you know.
You're trying to get the repair paid for.
That's my ultimate goal. As, yep, you know, that's our responsibility in public works. But we do, our automotive division is also involved to some degree too. So, yep, you know, we say, yes, we can fix it. No, we can't. Well, you have to be certified to work on pumps. We don't have anyone that's certified to do that. And being an accident, it obviously went through the trust. It was $25,000. So we, you know, I understand the frustration. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the bulk of it is at like the, you know, the way the fire department, whatever they did, you know, DPW shouldn't be chastised for that, but we're doing our best to make sure that, you know, you have the information, mm-hmm, that we can give you, and anything, like I do my best to, yeah, no, to, you know, like pull the information and say, okay, what are we doing? What happened? Mm-hmm. When did it happen? How did it happen? Like, you know, so we go through all the exercises, but, sometimes there's little,
okay,
tidbits of stuff that.
So for clarification, I'll just look at the top amount. It says the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust has already reimbursed the city of $25,972.43.
Correct.
So we have that money sitting in an account.
Yes.
Waiting to be paid to the trust. So the trust authorized that money. And what you did was authorize the truck to get paid. The trust sent in their appraiser to appraise the damages to the vehicle. They authorized that amount. What was given to them by the repair company? It's the repairs have been made. The truck is back in service as of December of 2023. It's December 29th.
It's actually in our garage right now. Needed a brake job and stuff, so it's not on the road as of yet.
I understand, and that's good because,
but,
all right.
And just for to make another point, I have an email that the check was being issued on July 11th. So we've had this money for quite a while, but obviously we couldn't make the payment until the truck was returned.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you went, and the reason why I wanted to say that those items is because pretty much you answered, that answered the questions, like quite a few of them, that the trust, my question of 98 to 2001, the trust already authorized it. So therefore they felt the vehicle still had a valuable life and a value of greater than that amount that it could stay in service. So I'll ask if there are any other comments from members of the council. Are there any comments? Please wait one moment, Councilman. Any of the comments, questions from members of the public? Councilman, are you requesting additional time?
Please.
I will put it to this committee. Is the committee willing to allocate further time for the councilman?
I'm willing to make a motion for an additional 3 minutes.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Councilman, you have 3 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to direct my comments to the committee. So I am not attacking the recruits by any sense. The recruits are trainees. They're learning. They're being supervised. I'm assuming there's someone in that vehicle.
Excuse me. May I make a point of order?
Yes.
I authorized three. I asked for the motion for 3 minutes to speak to the bid, not to comment off the bid. I did not accuse the councilman of attacking anybody. If he wants to speak to the bid that's in front of us, I have no problem. I just
okay. Then I will.
I'll speak to the bid.
I'll withdraw my comments that I said that you personally attacked. I will go on record to withdraw my comments. Okay. Councilman, please speak to the bid.
I'll keep
Thank
my
you.
Comments with to the bid. So here we have a bid. We're being asked to approve a bid that has the wrong total. It's $120 more than it should. Shame on us for not picking that up. By the way, shame on the trust for not picking it up. This is their appraiser that brought this to us. So there's problems here. Now, are we supposed to just close our eyes to this and just go ahead and approve this expenditure because it's a request and because the trust has agreed to pay for it? We're supposed to close our eyes to all these other things, the mathematical errors in here, the judgment calls, who's training who, the fact that, you know, some of these things were allowed to occur. This isn't the first time we have these type of an accident. Christy alluded to one just a little while ago, and we went through, as she termed it, a debacle. I'll prefer to term it as an educational experience. Are we supposed to just close our eyes to this stuff and say, yeah, what the hell? Go ahead and pay for it. I'm not doing that. This item request is wrong. The numbers are not accurate. And it's just mind-boggling to me that this type of thing. Chairman, I would request a PCR on this, please. Thank you for the additional time, by the way.
PCR 1324.
PCR 13-24. Thank you. For the record, formally bid 2024-344 repairs to engine 15 is now PCR 13-24. We've had discussion. May I have a motion on PCR 13-24 from this committee?
I move favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the docket is item number 10, which is bid 2024-362, MIS Elite Rescue Software Maintenance. This is found on page 71, correction, found on page 71. This was requested by Councilman Lattisor. Phil, please identify, and Councilman Lattisor, you have the floor.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, Director.
Hello.
So, in this invoice, well, first of all, let me just acknowledge that you've indicated, I'm going to read it. It is coming to the council late due to the company's, that's this image trend, due to the company's continued practice of not providing timely quotes until contacted numerous times.
Correct.
And we have had this, not just from your department, it's been from other departments where the vendors are not reaching out to you for contract renewal, not getting back to you, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's fair to say that the majority of the time we're talking about sole source vendors, which that's self-explanatory unto its own. This bid, which as we know, expired December 31st, 2023. I'm looking at the invoice from Image Trend. The invoice is dated January 11th. So that's when, you know, somebody decided, oh, let's send them an invoice.
If I may, it's dated 11th. We received in an email. I looked this up on January 18th.
On January 18th. True. Wonderful. Yeah, thank you for that clarification. And then they, you know, they're very prompt to specify that their payment terms are net 30. Net 30 of what? You send the invoice to the department 2 weeks late. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is for it. I don't know if there is any plan to deal with these vendors who continuously cause these problems to occur. The directors are sitting in the hot seat. The administration ends up in the hot seat. We end up here on the floor with all these discussions because they're just doing whatever they please. So I would suggest anyways that, and perhaps it's already in play, that there is some discussion amongst the departments as to what can be done to stop with these problems, because you're being held hostage with this sole source provider stuff. And while it's frustrating to me, I'm sure it's even more frustrating to you. We have this sole source provider thing, which initially came into our package dated September 18th, 2020. So September 18th, 2020, they send you this document stating, oh, we're sole source provider, instead of getting you a current up-to-date sole source provider, which, you know, it was finally amended and sent out to us recently on January 25th, 2024. But the initial document in our package said 2020. So I don't know. I sympathize with you regarding what's taking place, where you're late coming to the city council, which, by the way, I believe it's an ordinance in place to speak to that through no fault of yours or other departments when this occurs. I don't know. I wanted to put it out there, get it on the record, on the floor, about what's taking place with some of these vendors. You know, I don't know if you wanted to comment on that further, Director, but, you know, it's up to you.
Well, I understand your point. The POs strictly tell them where they're supposed to send invoices. As in the previous item we discussed, they chose not to follow those instructions. In this one, they not only sent it to someone else, they sent it to the fire department. So they did get someone who forwarded on to me immediately. But they did it well past not even the 60 days we asked them to send it ahead of the due date to be able to get it through the city council and everything. They sent it to us after it was due. To their defense, I guess, they said that the due date was 2/10/24, so they recognized sending it late, gave us I just don't feel that the directors can chase after these vendors. They obviously are cash rich, don't need our money, and can send us an invoice when they get around to it. But
exactly. And I sympathize with you. Obviously, you have things a lot more important to do than chase down these vendors. But there's another point that was just made, is when these emails of invoices or contract renewals, when they inadvertently go to another department or another department person, as is, you know, documented in this particular case, I'm not going to name names, but in this particular case, it's clear where that went to. You know, I would assume that there's a policy in the administration, or at least training to other departments, that, hey, listen, when you get something that doesn't belong to the police department and it belongs to MIS, send it off to MIS. There's another one in here, I think, that indicates that there were numerous emails sent to another department and you never got it. That's crazy that we even have to have this discussion here about that. But in any event, that's it. I'm done. Thank you, Chairman.
Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
The next item is item number 11. This is requested by Councilman Ricks. Bid 2024-321, Police Mobile Thermal Printers, and this is found on page 76. Major, please identify the councilman. You have the floor.
Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department.
Thank you. Yeah, this particular item, this isn't the reason that I'm bringing this particular item to the floor, though it initially struck my attention because I recently discovered how magical thermal printers are. In fact, I carry one around in my bag with me now. Bring it to court. It's great. Much better than physically writing up these different forms and the like when I can just hook it up to my laptop or my phone and print something on the go. But anyways, why I'm actually bringing this one to the floor is because I was taking a look over the bid sheet, and there was a note in the position paper that although Southern Computer Warehouse was a lower bidder as to item number one, it looks like there may have been two reasons why Island Tech Services was chosen over SCW, and those reasons being because per the position paper, if I'm understanding it correctly, that as to item number one, the type of printer that was offered by SCW, although lower in price, is not something that's used in the fleet. And also item number two, as offered by SCW, it's something that, I see that item number two is a severe increase over 10 times the amount of the preferred bidder here. And it looks like that may have been due to some misunderstanding or otherwise just an entirely different wiring kit that would have presumably required additional installation and perhaps something of that nature. So I suppose that item number two, I would consider that to be dispositive by itself, because we're talking about the difference, whenever that comes up, of the difference between $25 versus $424.73. But I suppose as to item number one, it looks like it's the same manufacturer as under the winning bid. It looks like these may be very similar because both are brother printers. The winning bidder, or rather not winning, but preferred bidder, it would be a model PJ823, whereas the one offered by SCW was a PJ822. I'm not sure the precise difference between those two models, but if it were to meet the specs, then I don't know if the 822 would do just as good a job under these circumstances. I mean, I'm not saying that we should go with SCW based on the difference between the wiring kits alone. That's a huge difference in price that would make a difference there. But yeah, just food for thought on perhaps looking into the PJ822 over the 823, if that's something that would save a little cost without actually changing any functionality there.
What it is, 823 is a, I think it's a more recent model. Ian, it's a slightly higher DPI for any of the computer experts in the room, which I am not, but I did look that up, and that's what the difference is between the two.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Councilman, any other members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? Thank you. Next will be bid 2024-335, various portable radio batteries. That is found on page 78. Major, please re-identify, and Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Major Andy Sullivan for the police department.
Thank you. So I want to point out on this templates that we have for the bids that are provided. All this shows us is what the list price is and what the unit price is. It doesn't give us what the discount is or any explanation as to how they arrived at the unit price. And that's a problem for me, because even when we do get the list price and the discounts, you all know over numerous times where there's been errors in the math, some minor, some not so minor. So I look at this and I say, how do I know that the unit price is correct? Because again, I don't have any information indicating to me what the formula was to arrive at that unit price. In this case, it would probably have been better off to just get rid of the list price column altogether and just give us a unit price, a net price. This is what it's going to cost you. Like it, you don't like it, whatever. But I have no knowledge or no way of determining whether or not those unit prices are in fact accurate, how they were determined, or anything else on that, for that matter. And that's my problem with that.
So what I can tell you is that two companies, two of the three that bid on the Motorola battery products, the top column of items, if you look at the list price for each of those, they're identical from the separate bidders. They're identical to the penny in the list price column. And then you go over to the unit price, that's what they're offering it at. I understand it doesn't have a percentage attached to it, but that's what they were offering it at. So you can tell that the Motorola OEM batteries had the same unit price for both the bidders, because that's clearly a stale, stagnant price. That's not
Major, I agree with you on that. We had that conversation earlier. I understand the list prices are very similar throughout this whole thing. The list price isn't my concern. My concern is what was the formula that was used to determine the unit price? I mean, is that the number that this is the drop dead number? This is what we got to get. I got to get $108.65 for this product. Or was there some sort of a discounted process to come up with the number? We don't know. So my point being is, with the errors that have been found over the past series of months when we are provided this number, it makes me question the accuracy of those unit prices when I don't know the whole math equation. So that's my point. I think it would be one of two things: either list price, discount, net cost, or just give me the price. You know, I want to buy two of these microphones, $20 a piece, take it or leave it. At least then I know this is the number. There's no questioning about, is it the number you intended, or is it $120 off like that pot on one of the recent bids? Thank you.
Questions for members of this committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Thank you. The next item will be bid 2024-346, repairs to W115. This is requested by Councilman Lattiser. Good evening, Christy. Please identify. Then Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Christy, this is another paperwork issue question kind of thing. So in their invoice on page 92, they're showing travel to and from machine. I guess that's to and from us, right? For a total labor of $676. Then on page 93, they have another item. It says MAR/100 mileage, Mass in Rhode Island, unit price $4.50 for a total cost of $180. So I don't understand how we're paying for this mileage travel thing at 180, I didn't total those numbers, 6, 7, somewhere around $850 for a travel time of approximately 58 minutes each way, somewhere between 43 and 46 miles each way. Why do we have those two charges? Is there something that I'm missing?
Because they can. We don't have a contract with them to come out and fix our vehicles. In this particular instance, they came to our facility to look at, it was a fault lockout code. We have certain Milton Cat software, but we don't have this software, which is proprietary, and they don't let other people have it. So basically they can charge us whatever they want to come to our facility.
So you're right. They can charge us whatever they want. But it would make sense to me that someone would be questioning whether or not these charges were right. I'm looking at over $800 for travel time for something that's an hour down and an hour back. And it's not being questioned. That doesn't make sense to me that we're paying it because that's what they told us. It would make sense to me that someone picks up the phone and say, hey, Milton, are you charging us twice? Or is there a reason why you're charging us $676 and then you're charging us another $180? I don't get it. I just don't get it why these things are not being challenged. But apparently they're not. So we're going to be paying for over $800 worth of travel back and forth, but we don't know how or why.
Are there any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from the public? Thank you. The final item up for discussion on this bid package is bid 2024-351, police canine insurance. This is requested by Councilman Foley. Major, after you introduce yourself, would you please, Councilman, you have the floor.
Major Andy Sullivan for the police department.
Thank you, Major. A couple of quick questions. One is, how many canines do we have in our canine unit?
We have two traditional and one compassion type dog.
And in the last 12 months, how many claims have been made against our canines?
What I can give you, the sheets I have from my assistant go back to June, and there's 9 going back to June.
And how many of those have been found warranted?
Doesn't give a... some might be general, like a regular checkup. Some might be for, I think one of the dogs had conjunctivitis.
So they don't, I don't have a list of what the diagnoses were, but.
And my understanding is that this insurance is for that, if someone makes a claim against our canines.
It's for wellness visits and for, this is for their health, not for any liability.
Yeah, I misunderstood.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from this committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, thank you. At this time, may I have a motion?
I'm sorry. Give me one moment. I tried. Here it is.
Yeah. May I have a motion on PCR 11-24?
I move favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes on January 17, 2024?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next on the committee agenda is PCR 138-23, a resolution relative to issuing requests for proposals for the American Rescue Plan Act community projects. I will start with Council President McAllister.
Thank you. This is our ARPA funds for neighborhood projects. This is a standing item for this resolution this evening. Ward 2, Norwood Library, ADA accessibility improvements. Ward 5, Tidalwater Drive, Sandy Lane, Church Ave, solar-powered speed signs. Ward 5, Ocean Avenue, beach bench installation. Ward 6, Oakland Beach School, Warwick Veterans Middle School, Park School, Buttonwoods Ave near Long Street, and Asylum Road, solar-powered speed signs. And Ward 9, Post Road at Cohesit Road, intersection beautification improvements. So this is what is before us, and each individual council person can give additional details if they'd like on these. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. So we'll start on the committee side. Are there any items or any projects that members of this committee would like to discuss? Councilman Gebhardt.
So the one that is listed here at the intersection of Post Road and Cohesit, there is a historic horse trough that is located at that intersection that's long been defunct. And it's sort of run down. So looking to do some improvements there.
Thank you so much. Next, I'll ask members of the council if they would like to discuss an item. Councilman Lattisor.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I would like to add an amendment, to my item for the solar-powered signs. And I would like to add two additional signs for the location of the Learning Garden on Warwick Neck Avenue.
So a question to the solicitor and Councilman going on that. A question to the solicitor, and even these are just projects. We're approving the projects. Do we have to, because there's an allocated amount of money, do we have to have that amount included?
These are requests to go out to bid. So each ward has certain budget constraints that they're working within, and those recommendations come back to us in order to actually allocate the money. So this is just asking to go out to bid, subject to funds available.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Councilman. Councilman, if you don't mind, please, just first of all, no, Councilman, if you can tell me the items that you would like to add, please.
Two additional solar-powered speed signs, and that would be located in the vicinity of the Learning Garden on Warwick Neck Avenue. That is a daycare center.
Yes,
and
sir.
Also, I'm going to be reaching out to, just as a point of information, I'm going to be reaching out to the police department for their recommendation as to the best proximity to locate these signs, too.
Roger that.
Thank you.
Was that the only request with the two solar?
Yes, sir.
That's it. Thank you. So we'll continue the discussion. Are there any comments from other members of the council concerning these projects? Questions, comments from the public? Questions, comments from the public? Okay, so first we will have a vote to amend to add, per request of Councilman Lattiser, two solar-powered speed signs at the location he identified. May I have a motion?
Motion to amend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. May I have a motion for PCR 138-23 as amended?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 9:03 and the Finance Committee is closed for business.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next up is the Public Safety Committee, and that could take place at this time.
The Public Safety Committee comes to order at 9:04. First item is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on January 3rd.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The item in front of us is PCR 10-24, a resolution relative to replacing a yield sign on the westerly side of Wellspring Drive where it intersects Eastgate Drive. Councilman Sanapi.
This is supported by a traffic study, and I request favorable action.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? From the council? From the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That concludes the business for this committee at 9:05.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Community Affairs Committee, and that could take place at this time.
The City Council Committee on Community Affairs, Public Properties, and Land Use comes to order at 9:05 p.m. First up, acceptance of minutes from a committee meeting held on January 17, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Motion. Move
second. Second.
Aye.
It is moved, seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
The eye again.
Aye.
Very good. Okay, one item on the docket, PCR-72-22. This is Councilman Sanapi on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. A resolution designating September 20th as Robert Shapiro Day in the City of Warwick. Do we have a recommendation?
Request favorable action. This is similar in line to the dedication we did for Councilman Gallucci.
Any discussion, members of the committee? Councilman Travis? Thank you. Any discussion, members of the council? Council President?
Thank you very much. I'm in support of this as well. Mr. Shapiro was the superintendent when I was at Tollgate, and he served our city for a long time, and I think this is a really good thing. So I support this as well. Thank you.
Thank you. For the discussion, members of the council? I see the chief is present. Any comments?
Thank you, Chairman. On behalf of Mayor Picozzi, he just wants to thank you all for considering this resolution positively. Dr. Shapiro was a hero of the mayor's, along with being a colleague when he was on the school committee. Even though he was a resident of Cranston, he served the city of Warwick for many decades, especially our young people, and certainly deserves to be honored in this way. Thank you.
Thank you. And in the event that this resolution is approved, we'll be seeing this day on next year's city calendar, I presume. Let's see. Any comment? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the approval of the Chief of Staff, I would like to sign out as a co-sponsor on this, please.
I see a thumbs up. Councilman Sanapi, do you approve? All right. Councilman Lattiser added as a co-sponsor. Along with Councilwoman Travis.
Me too.
Councilman Foley. Council President.
McElroy.
Councilman Gebhardt.
McElroy.
Councilman McElroy. Any others? Okay, very good. Any comments, members of the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That concludes the City Council meeting on public properties, land use, and community affairs at 9:08 p.m.
Good evening again. We are now back in the full council meeting. So if you are following us here, we have done roll call, salute to the flag, general communications. So now we're on executive communications. There are none. Next up on the agenda is the acceptance of the minutes for the council meeting held on January 17th. Councilman Howe. Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. Number one this evening is the announcements of appointments. Councilman Gephardt.
Okay. To the Board of Public Safety, Michael Gilbert. To the Retirement Board, Jean Mudo Kyle. To the School Building Committee, Thomas Kravitz, Dean Pimentel. To the Historical Cemeteries, that's it.
Thank you. So those were appointments that did not require confirmation from the council. Sir. So now we're moving on to number two, which is appointments requiring confirmation. So first up, committee report, appointments.
To the Historical Cemeteries Commission, Cynthia Corkum, recommend favorable action.
Okay, for action, Councilman Foley. Second. By Councilman Gephardt and Councilman Ricks. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr.
Snappy? Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Number two this evening, Councilman Gephardt.
To the Historical Cemeteries Commission, Dawn Lewis. Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman, that's your ward. Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Howe, Ricks, and Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Thank you. The appointment passes. Number three this evening.
To the Historical Cemeteries Commission, Margaret Malcolm. Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Recommend favorable action.
Second by Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser, and Councilwoman Travis. Any questions or comments that not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Number four, Councilman Gephardt.
To the number four, right?
Yes, she's still on the cemetery.
Historical Cemeteries Commission, Diane McConnell. Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. The next appointment, Councilman Gephardt.
To the Wildlife and Conservation Commission, Kate Fitzpatrick. Committee recommends favorable action, and I move favorable action.
Okay. Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe and Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Number two this evening, Councilman Gephardt.
To the Wildlife and Conservation Commission, Ann Holst. Committee recommends favorable action, and I move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Number three, Councilman Gephardt.
To the Wildlife and Conservation Commission, Susan Kennedy. Committee recommends favorable action.
Councilwoman Travis, can you move that for me, please?
Yes, I move favorable action for Susan Kennedy.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr.
Howe? Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Number four this evening, Councilman Gephardt.
To the Wildlife and Conservation Commission, Cynthia Quellick. Committee recommends favorable action.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I move favorable action for Cynthia Quellick.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments I would not ask earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. Appointment passes. We're moving on to number three this evening, which is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 11-24, Committee Report, Finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2024-355, 2024-323, 2024-231, 2024-356, 2024-363, 2024-357, 2023-310, 2024-362, 2024-321, 2024-335, 2024-347, 2024-346, 2024-351, 2024-359, 2024-345, 2024-360, 2024-051, 2024-053. That completes the bid packet, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the bid package.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Thank you. Consent calendar passes. I believe two items have been removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. Bid 2022-060, statistical reappraisal of the real estate located within the corporate city limits, is now PCR 12-24. Committee recommended hold till February 26th.
Hold to February 26th. Number two this evening.
Mr. President, bid 2024-344, repairs to engine 15, is now PCR 13-24. Committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I'll be voting no on this item. And it's not that I disagree with paying the vendor for the work that's done. I disagree on paying the wrong amount for the work that's been done. And I'm also going to be voting no on this item because of the errors that I identified in the document, the process, the errors in addition, as well as the lack of documents provided to us, namely those pictures. We have no pictures to document what happened on that vehicle. And I think that's very important for us to have. So for those reasons, I will be voting no on this item. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, it's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action on PCR 13-24.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes, one, no motion.
Thank you. Motion passes. Now we're moving on to unfinished business on the agenda. There is none. So now we're moving to new business. First up is PCR 72-22, Committee Report, Community Affairs.
C-
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Howe, and Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? I believe Councilman Howe would also like to be added as a co-sponsor. Correct?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes.
So that's everybody. So that's good. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Hawes?
Yes.
Mr. Latessa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. Next up is PCR 138-23, Committee Report Finance.
Favorable action with amendment.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
I move favorable action on PCR-138-23.
Okay, and Councilman Howe, can you give us the amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. It was for Ward 5 to add two solar power speed signs at the area indicated.
On
Mr. President, yes. I think the simplest way here is to amend line 37 after Church Ave to add 259 Warwick Neck Avenue.
Okay, so we will take that as a motion on line 37 after Church Ave. We're going to include 259 Warwick Avenue.
Warwick Neck Avenue.
Warwick Neck Avenue. Warwick Neck Avenue. That's a motion. Do we have a second to that amendment? Second by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Foley
and
Councilman Latticer. Any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latticer?
Absolutely.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, would you like to move it as amended?
Move PCR 138-23 as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Latticer. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latticer?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Number three this evening, PCR 10-24, Committee Report, Public Safety. For action, Councilman Sinapi.
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Latticer, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latticer?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. We're now moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8.
Pass.
Ward 9.
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of the honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor to move in the docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Mr. President, one item I would like to jointly docket with yourself. It is a resolution to the state designating an area of Main Street from West Shore Road to Post Road, Jefferson Boulevard, as Purple Heart Trail.
Resolution to the General Assembly, correct?
Yes, please.
Intergovernmental.
And thank you.
We're happy to take on any co-sponsors if you'd like. Any co-sponsors? Looks like we have full boat. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Ward 4, anything to docket this evening?
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7, I have one, a standing item, a resolution relative to issuing requests for proposals for the American Rescue Plan Act community projects. Finance. Ward 8.
Pass.
Ward 9.
Pass.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Thank you.